Having considered the first two questions, we now go to question number three. Having considered this, you may ask, in what ways are we to show our thankfulness? Answer. Look how many ways God may have the glory of His goodness from you. These are all ways in which you may show yourself thankful. For example, number one, by acknowledging His pure goodness in everything as the grounds of it all. And this has two things in it. First, that all you are or have comes from Him. John 3:27. Even as David acknowledges, quote, all is of thine hand and is yours, not ours, close quote. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 14 through 16. For in ourselves, we are but strangers here, brought into the world and made by God. Therefore, we possess nothing but the gifts He has given us. And thus, everything is His. And so, if you have wealth, do not say, my power or the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 17 through 18. And remember that it is He who bestows it all. And because we are apt to forget, He gives us a memento to help us remember to ascribe nothing to ourselves or the strength of our own arms, and to keep a humble heart by glorying in nothing as though we had not received it. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. And if we have more wit, wealth, or grace than another, we must look upon ourselves as merely a purse that has more money in it. Yet both the purse and the money are God's. Second, we must not only thus acknowledge that all we have is His and from Him, but also that everything comes from His pure goodness unto us. And not because of anything good within us. David does this by acknowledging the reason why God gave him so much and not another. He says, it was not on account of anything different in him, but because of his word's sake, which he had promised to David. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 18. According to his own heart, he had done those great things. There were no other motives but his goodness and what is in and comes from his own heart. He has a great heart and therefore does great things. Number two. But we must not only acknowledge his sheer goodness, but also our own unworthiness of any of it. And this casts a further shadow upon his goodness, and as a foil further illustrates it. One that deserved to be cast out of favor is more bound to be thankful than one who had never offended. And therefore, Jacob lays that as the foundation upon which he raises his thankfulness. Quote, I am less than the least of thy mercies. Close quote. Genesis 32, verse 10. Where, first, he acknowledges that everything he now had was mercy. It was not simply bounty, as it was to Adam, but mercy, which adds to the bounty. And second, quote, I am less than the least, close quote, he says. Take the least bit of bread that he ate, or his staff. He was not only unworthy of it, but more unworthy than these things themselves. A humble heart is always a thankful heart. If you would be thankful, study your own lowliness. Number three, His goodness and your own unworthiness must not only be understood by you and conceived in your heart, it must also be acknowledged in words, with our hearts sensible of both. And we are to bless God in this manner. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 16. We are to bless with our spirits, all within me, as David says, Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2. The heart and its affection are the instrument that the music is made upon. Thanksgiving is called a melody in the heart. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Yet, when the heart is filled with a sense of God's goodness and our unworthiness, it must also be acknowledged with the tongue. And thanksgiving is the fruit of the lips. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. And calves of lips. Hosea chapter 14, verse 2. God's praise is too big for the heart. Therefore, acknowledge everything in your private prayers to God. But not only so, but also to others. When God had delivered the Israelites, Moses told Jethro what he had done for them. Exodus chapter 18, verse 8. David bids others come to him, and he will tell them what God had done for his soul. Psalm 66, verse 16. Christ's reward of the leper for healing him was, go and tell what is done for thee, instead of foolish jesting, which our mouths are full of. Rather, give thanks. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4. If our hearts were filled with thankfulness, our mouths would be full of praise. Number 4. And if we would show ourselves to be truly thankful, and give him the glory of his goodness, we must not think to render it in words only. If the glory of his goodness may be rendered in any other way, we must also endeavor to do it. For all that we can do is far too little. Therefore, when speaking of true thankfulness, the psalmist says, quote, he that offereth praise glorifieth me. And adding this, he that ordereth his conversation aright. Psalm 50, verse 23. This is the man who offers the truest praise and most glorifies his goodness. The mercies of God call for another sacrifice beside the calves, spelled C-A-L-V-E-S, the calves of our lips. Quote, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies, that is your whole man, that you present your bodies a living, holy, and acceptable sacrifice. Close quote. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And because they might misunderstand him, that is, the readers or hearers might misunderstand the Apostle Paul shows how they must sacrifice themselves, which is, quote, your reasonable service, close quote. First, by dedicating themselves to the service. And second, that their service should be squared to the word, as the words signify in their original language. And this is better than sacrificing 1,000 rivers of oil or even your own life. Thus, David, in that famous psalm of thanksgiving, Psalm 116, resolves to walk before the Lord in verse 9. That is, to order his course in such a way that God might be glorified and advanced. and I will pay my vows. That's verse 14. That is, all the covenants that he had made. First, he resolved that the consideration of God's mercies should quicken him to the performance of his own vows, whether made in sickness, in distress, or in sacraments. And he says, quote, I am your servant, close quote. That's verse 16. That is to say, I dedicate myself to you forever. As one who owed him all that he had or could ever do. And every man should think with himself as the king did concerning Mordecai. I have received these mercies from God, but what has been done for him? Consider further Esther chapter 6 verses 1 through 3. As first, what sins have I left? For in this thankfulness is shown. Christ tells the man that was healed, quote, sin no more, close quote. John chapter 5, verse 14. And shall I be so unthankful, so unkind? Well, shall I repay the Lord in this way, by being unclean, negligent in my calling, and dead to holy duties? Well, do you repay the Lord in this way? He who has made, established, and delivered you, even as Moses argues in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 6? And so also, when a man quickens up his heart to abound in holy duties, saying with himself, I have received more wealth, wit, and credit than others. Therefore, what shall I do for him, which is more than others? When a man considers the sins that God has pardoned, the prayers that God has heard, and the long time God has given him in this world, he realizes then that he owes him his life for every mercy, even as long as I live, says David, Psalm 116, verse 2. If he had 1,000 lives, though he never received any more mercy, well, yet for the mercies he has had, quote, I am your servant, close quote, says David, for thou hast loosened my bonds. That's verse 16. And therefore, I will enter into new bonds to serve thee, looking on every mercy as a new indenture between God and him. When a man reflects upon God's mercies to him, and every one of them makes his soul bleed for his sins, and even as Nathan did to David, causing him to mourn. Have I given thee thy master's house and wife, and wilt thou serve me thus? 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 8. Well, this is to be thankful, to mourn for sin, especially your own. Number 5. A fifth way to show thanks is to honor God with your substance. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. To do good with your gifts to the profit of others. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. To spend your sweetness and fatness for the good of God and man. And to consecrate all of your learning, wit, and wealth to God to use, call for, and command as if they were his own. This is to be thankful. And for this purpose, consider how much of their estates the Jews bestowed upon God for their or for holy use under the ceremonial law. Well, besides their yearly tithes, they paid first fruits bringing sacrifices and offerings upon all occasions. And we are freed from these things, yet we're obligated to do good to his saints with all that you have received, either to their souls or bodies. And David did this. He inquired if any of Jonathan's seed were still alive, in order that he might show kindness unto them. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1. And so should we. Well, ask yourself, where is a poor saint that I may do good unto, one whose body or soul I may refresh? And do this as God has enabled you. If you do not have gold or silver, yet use such things as you have to give unto them, even as Peter did, and as the Lord Jesus Christ bade them. Acts chapter 3, verse 6, Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. Having received their gifts of healing and preaching freely, they gave them freely as well. And do everything unto this end, that others may thank God for you more than they thank you. And this was Paul's motive to the bounty of others. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. Quote, "You, being enriched to all bountifulness," he says, "which causeth through us thanksgiving to God, and you to rejoice," close quote. Others will glorify God's goodness in you because of your goodness unto them. And that should be the main motive, for it is made apparent by the words which follow. Quote, "For hereby," says he, "for hereby not only the want of the saints is supplied," close quote, "which pity may cause you to do, but furthermore it is abundant by many thanksgivings to God." And that's verse 12. Question number 4. Well, you may ask, what kinds of things must I give thanks for and be thankful? Answer. Well, all things. Look how far his goodness reaches. Well, our thanks should reach this far. Now, his goodness runs through all things, and thus we must give thanks for it all. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Quote, "In all and for all," close quote. That is, in all things, so far as God's goodness is seen in them. And so, even for afflictions, for they come out of love and faithfulness. Psalm 119, verses 75 and 76. And are appointed and ordered for our good, though in themselves they are not something that we're thankful for. Thus, Job blessed God in the midst of all his trouble, for he found God blessing him through them. For as we love God because he first loved us, 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, and so also we bless him when he has blessed us. Praise him for all his dealings. For though we cannot see how they are all mercy and truth, yet we shall see them to be so in this end, or in the end. Praise him for temporal mercies. Well, every created thing is to be received with thanksgiving. Magnify him for past mercies, as well as those which are to come. We should not forget to praise him for the bread we eat, or the water we drink. And we must especially praise him for our spiritual blessings, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. For they sweeten everything else, and his goodness is seen more clearly in them. Bless him for giving the Lord Jesus Christ for you, you to him to you, and all things that are in him. Praise him for public mercies as well as private, and for all duties. Thankfulness is most becoming in the saints, Psalm 33, verse 1. So to be thankful for public mercies to the state you live in is especially expected of you. For godly men have a public spirit, and public mercies are principally intended by God for you. All things are yours, the world and all the deliverance and peace that a people has. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21 through 23. Public mercies redound more to God's glory, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. And our first petition is, in prayer, hallowed be thy name, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. And so also, be thankful for mercies that are to come. David praised God for the great things laid up in store for those that fear him, Psalm 31, verse 19, as well as those he had already wrought. David also praised God for the future promise of his seed in the kingdom, for he saw this as a greater matter than his present enjoyment of that kingdom. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 27 through 29. Question number 5. Well, you will ask, when are we to be thankful? Answer. We're to be thankful at all times, for his goodness extends to all times. Therefore, our thankfulness must be returned always and for all things. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. As one said to the queen, that when she stopped giving, well, he would stop begging. So I say, when God stops giving, then you may stop returning thanks unto him. But his mercies are renewed every moment. So, like the rivers which are continually running to the sea, we must let our thanks also flow to him continually, even as his mercies are always flowing unto us. All of his works are forever, and thus his works of mercy, every one of them, are to be thanked forever. If we had received nothing more than the creation, if he gives us being and life, we must resolve to be thankful while we have being, even as David did. Quote, I will praise him as long as I live, and whilst I have any being. Close quote. Psalm 104, verse 33. As sin is an eternal guilt, so every mercy is an eternal obligation. And therefore, as they are forever punished in hell because they can never pay the utmost farthing of their debt, so also we in heaven shall be thankful forever, because we can never be thankful enough. He loads us with his benefits daily, Psalm 68, verse 19. Therefore, we should praise him daily, even as David resolved to do, Psalm 71, verse 15. And the last thing to be added is, look to whom God shows and extends his goodness in and through. Give him thanks and return glory to him. And that is Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. For thanks are called sacrifices. And, quote, the fruit of the lips, close quote, and calves of your lips. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, Hosea chapter 14, verse 2. They are as those sacrifices and offerings under the law. Therefore, bring them to the priest to offer. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. For you must not offer anything without a priest. Again, everything is from God through the Lord Jesus Christ, who's a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Therefore, return everything unto God through him also, and give thanks for him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, above all. For he is all in all. And so now, in the last place, I will show you the causes of true thankfulness, which you may take and consider as helps to it. And they are, number one, a true consideration of God's benefits received by us, which must of necessity be done, or else there can be no true thankfulness. As in the Latin, ignati cupido nulla. In English, there's no desire for that which is unknown. So, gratia nulla pro ignotis. In English, there is no gratitude for that which is unknown. Therefore, you must labor to know them, and that they are yours. I will praise thee, says David, for thy wonderful works, which my soul knows right well. Psalm 139, verse 14. That is, he makes a full consideration of them, and this makes him thankful. Unreasonable creatures are incapable of thankfulness, because they lack understanding. And yet wicked men are worse, for, quote, the ox knoweth his owner that feeds him, but my people do not consider, close quote. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 3. That is to say, they do not regard. They take no notice of or take into consideration the great things that I have done for them. And thus their unthankfulness is ascribed to folly, that they are called a foolish people and unwise. That's Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 6. Stultus semper est ingratus. That is to say, in English, the fool is always ungrateful. Therefore, get a heart that takes notice of every mercy. If you pray, watch how God answers your prayers. Watch in prayer with thanksgiving. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Which is to say, see how many of your requests God grants. Watch to see how your prayers come in, and it will afford much and plentiful material for thankfulness. And to this end, take notice of small mercies as well as the big ones, for this is a true sign of a thankful heart, and a means to increase mercies. In every event of each day, and in every petition of your prayers, you shall see mercy and an answer to them. God takes this kindly at your hands, and he sees to it that nothing is overlooked. Thankfulness motivates him to give you more, and when every small mercy is accounted as great, it is a sign that you are small in your own eyes, even as it was to Jacob. Quote, forget not all his benefits, close quote, says David. Psalm 103, verse 2. not all, not one, if it were possible. When we would work our own hearts to godly sorrow, we go over our particular sins. And so if we would work our hearts to thankfulness, we must go over our particular mercies, laboring to take notice of them and know them, and thus to remember them, which is but an iteration of consideration. And indeed, this is so necessary that forgetfulness is called unthankfulness. And thus, David lays this solemn charge upon his own soul, quote, "My soul, forget not all his benefits," close quote. He gives himself a charge to remember them. And we also need a charge laid upon us to do this. For nothing grows old more quickly than kindness. Injuries are written upon our hearts with a pen of iron, but mercies are written as in water. Quote, "They soon forgot his works," close quote, Psalm 106, verse 13, as Pharaoh's butler forgot Joseph in Genesis chapter 40, verse 23. And so we forget God. Number two, a second help and cause of thankfulness is a true esteem and valuation of God's mercies, which is to be added to the other. And to this end, we are to consider the greatness, the number, and all the magnifications of them. For some circumstances can make the mercy shown greater still. When the Apostle Paul expresses his great thanks, he calls the thing that he gives thanks for unspeakable, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 9, he says, "What thanks shall I give for all the joy we have for your sakes before God?" He thought it so great a mercy that no thanks were great enough, the gift so unspeakable that as his groans in prayer were unutterable, Romans chapter 8, verse 26, and so also were his thanks. Now, if you would have a large heart, get a large esteem of God's mercies. See how Ezra esteemed the mercy shown to his people, Ezra chapter 9, verse 13. And so also, you should consider the distinct nature of every mercy that has been shown to you, that is to us, that God has not dealt with us as he has dealt with our other brothers and sisters. And to this purpose, also cast up the number of mercies you have been shown. In reflecting upon God's mercy to him, David proclaims, "Thy thoughts are more than I can reckon up to thee," Psalm 40, verse 5, and, "I will praise thee always, for I know not the number of thy mercies," that's Psalm 71, verse 15. Add to this a proper understanding of our own vileness, that we deserve nothing, and that we are less than the least. And then, when we think like that, every mercy will be mercy indeed. Nothing hinders thankfulness more than pride. Hezekiah did not render thanks because his heart was lifted up, 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 25. A proud man thinks everything is due unto him, but a beggar is thankful even for a penny, the people of Israel, having proud hearts, thought scorn of... Excuse me. Start that again. The people of Israel, having proud hearts, thought scorn of the good land. Psalm 106, verse 24. They, who were too bad for hell, considered the promised land not good enough for them. We have nothing but this manna, they say, in Numbers 11, verse 6. And yet, it was angels' food, and came to them from heaven without their labor. Now, brethren, we must take heed of condemning the mercies that we enjoy, which, because we do not have that which we desire, well, we're sometimes apt to do this. There's almost no mercy in this life which is not pure mercy, and yet something is always lacking, because indeed in our works unto God there is still something lacking. And we are wayward creatures. And when, in our minds, things do not come off adequately and as fully as we would have them, we undervalue them. Such discontented things are our lusts, that unless they are all pleased, none of them are pleased. Number three. There must be added to this a sense of God's love to us personally in every mercy, or at least there must be a heart in us that seeks after that love in and above all other mercies, and does not rest in them without it. And only such a heart is a thankful heart. For if the heart is convinced of any lack of love in all that he gives, well, it will not be thankful, even as the children of Israel were not. They thought God brought them out of Egypt to destroy them, and therefore murmured instead of giving thanks. And if the heart is not sensible of God's love, well, great mercies are worth little to us. For love is the very thing which makes them mercies. A dinner of herbs with love is better than a stalled ox without love. Consider further Proverbs chapter 15, verse 17. When you sit down with a great man whose heart you fear is not with you, as in Proverbs chapter 23, verses 6 through 8, you will have no great heart to thank him for his cheer. And the same is true if you fear that God's heart is not with you. David makes God's love for him the grounds of his praise, because he tasted his loving kindness to be better than life. Psalm 63, verse 3. It is not enough for the heart to know that its mercies come from God. It must also know that they are motivated by love. The Gentiles knew that all they had was from him. Acts chapter 14, verse 17. And he did not leave himself without such a witness. But in these things, they did not taste his love as being better than life. And thus they were unthankful. Therefore, we must strive for faith and assurance of his love for us in everything. And it will make every mercy then a great mercy, because it flows from the eternal love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Quote, be you rooted and built up in the Lord Jesus Christ, and established in the faith, abounding with thanksgiving. Close quote. Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. Then, every dinner of herbs, yea, even every cross, will be seen as a token of his love for us. And all of his ways will be accounted mercy and truth. Number four. A fourth help to thankfulness, is to return love unto God again. And this is wrought by the sense of His love unto us. And this is necessary, for love is the ground song of this melody, as the Apostle calls it in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. And therefore, David makes it the foundation of all his thankfulness. Psalm 116, verse 1, and 18, verse 3. Love enlarges the heart, being the very form and essence of thankfulness, and therefore the chief cause of it. And by the same token, self-love, and the love of created things, is the greatest hindrance of thankfulness. For self-love keeps everything to itself, and turns everything toward itself. This contracts the heart. Therefore, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, it is said that men shall become lovers of themselves, and because of this, unthankful also. Self-love makes them content to take in all kindnesses without returning any. And therefore, the good nature which makes them thankful is only the honor that restraining grace has gained from such self-love. Likewise, love of created things, if inordinate, is also a hindrance. Nullum habet malum cupiditas majus quam quod ingratia est. In English, the only evil greater than covetousness is ingratitude. Like greedy dogs who have a stock thrown to them, they swallow it down and then look you in the face for another. Well, so do men who are possessed by their lusts. Number five. A fifth help is joy in God's goodness. When Hannah praised God for Samuel, she began her song thus, quote, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord," close quote. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. When we entertain God's blessings with satiety, we cannot give thanks for them. Therefore, upon days of thanksgiving, a liberal use of created things is allowed unto us. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Joy dilates the heart and opens the mouth. Joy turns it and winds it up. And so, quote, "My soul magnifieth the Lord and rejoiceth in God my Savior," close quote. Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 47. And David also, when he gave thanks, he rejoiced exceedingly on that day. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 17. However, our rejoicing must in God's goodness. Our rejoicing must be in God's goodness. For if we rejoice carnally in created things, our spiritual joy is dampened, and then thanksgiving is dampened also. "Lest thou be full and forget me." Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 10 through 11. In Acts chapter 14, verse 17, "The people had their hearts filled with gladness, yet they walked in their own ways, because it was gladness in created things, and not in God." Therefore, preserve spiritual joy, and delight yourself in the Almighty. Number six. Lastly, we freely render to God the glory of His goodness by acknowledging His goodness and our baseness, and by yielding ourselves and all that we have to His service. And in all things, at all times, we aim principally toward this end, to glorify His goodness and to testify of our love, and all this to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where I'm going to go ahead and stop for today. Next time, we will get into the uses. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless and preserve you all. Amen.